Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Understanding WebSphere Business Monitor and Alpha Blocks. Today's presenter is Visar Bajwa. Visar has 5 years of experience with WebSphere Business Monitor, Modeler, and Compass Support. She has detailed knowledge in all three areas with a focus on WebSphere Business Monitor troubleshooting. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Visar.
Thanks, Joseph. All right, so I guess we can get started. Let's move on to slide number 2 with the agenda. All right, so today I'm going to talk a little bit about Alpha Blocks and Monitor and give an overview of how they integrate together and how Alpha Blocks fits into the world of Monitor. I'll then talk a little bit about the topologies, very briefly about the single server topology, distributed topologies, and then the clustered as well. Then next we'll talk about installing Alpha Blocks in Monitor with a focus on clustered installation, some tips and hints and checkpoints there, followed by troubleshooting tips, issues that you run into while installing or using Alpha Blocks, where to look, how to gather the correct information to enable support. Lastly, I'll talk about a few Alpha Blocks performance chaining tips very briefly, and then we'll end with a demo with a little bit of installation troubleshooting issues and also the usage of Alpha Blocks with Monitor. All right. So moving on to slide number 3. So Alpha Blocks and Monitor, how they work together. So when you have the business data from Monitor, you have the option to display it in various formats and various widgets. In the instant widget, you have your KPI widget. But the two that we're going to focus on today are the reports widget and the dimensions widget. And these two widgets require Alpha Blocks to be installed. So you can't use the reports or dimensions if you don't have Alpha Blocks. And the whole point of these two kinds of widgets is answering questions like what the total sales are for a product or in our demo, in fact, we're going to use a loan lending application. So how many loans were created in the month of July? How many loans were created in 2009? How many loans were processed in July the 31st? Of 2009, you can drill down and get some really specific business situation answers and business questions answered. So that's how Alpha Blocks integrates with business data and analysis of that business data. So moving on to slide number 4. So Alpha Blocks basically integrates with WebSphere Application Server, with the database, and, of course, with the monitor model that's installed. And what it does is allows you to create some web-based applications, which are very customizable, and it provides real-time, highly customizable, multidimensional analysis. So it allows you to drill down in various levels of data and get some really specific charts and some very helpful and specific information from your business data. So it gives you a lot of capability to drill down and customize your reports and your data and analyze it in a very specific and business-specific way. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 5. So I'm going to talk a little bit about dimensions for how it works when you're creating your monitor model. So when you create your monitor model, you basically have a cube, which is created for each monitoring context. And within that cube, then you have the ability to create dimensions if you want to enable the dimensional analysis. And then additionally, when you deploy the monitor model into Web Services Monitor, you have two additional date dimensions that are created, which are the creation time and the termination time. And those basically track the instance creation and the instance termination. And all of those are stored in the DIM timetable in the Web Service Monitor database. So, again, then, for each monitoring context, you have a cube. And within that cube, you'll have your dimensions. And each dimension then has levels. So an example of dimensions and levels would be, say, a time dimension, and the level would be year, month, date. And then each dimension level is linked to a specific metric. So it's cube, dimension, dimension level, which is then linked to a metric. And then, of course, you can also have measures, which can be linked to metrics, counters, key, stopwatch. And we'll get a visual on this in the demo when we get there. So, again, the cube will allow you to create hierarchies. For example, for time, it would be a time dimension. It would be year, month, day, levels. And you can drill down to get a higher level of analysis and data integration. Moving on to the next slide. Slide number 6. Now we're going into the topology. So a single server topology is pretty straightforward. Everything is installed on the same server, and Alpha Blocks basically goes hand in hand with a monitored dashboard. Moving on to slide number 7, we're talking a little bit about the distributed topologies. There are two kinds of distributed topologies. The first one here is using a two-system distributed topology, and the point here is that Alpha Blocks would be installed on the server where you have your monitor dashboards installed. And say, as you can see in the diagram here, system A would be where your monitor server is installed, monitor data security, monitor action services, and your monitor admin console would be there. And then system B is where your monitor dashboards are installed. So wherever your dashboard is installed, Alpha Blocks would be installed there. Moving on to slide number 8. In a three-tier topology, again, the same holds true. Alpha Blocks is installed where monitor dashboards are installed. Let's move on to slide number 9. Now let's talk a little bit about the cluster topology. So the diagram here shows a typical cluster topology for four-cluster topology for version 6.2. Version 7 isn't much different other than just a little bit of nomenclature difference for a business-based cluster. In version 6.2, it's a business-based cluster. In version 7, it's just referred to as a web cluster. But you have the same items installed. You have the same business-based REST services and Alpha Blocks. So in a cluster topology, you would have Alpha Blocks installed with business space. That's how it goes hand in hand there. All right, let's move on to the next slide, slide number 10. So now I want to talk a little bit about, while installing Alpha Blocks in a clustered environment, a few things that you need to look out for and actions that you need to take to ensure that you end up with a successful clustered environment installed for Alpha Blocks. So the first thing you want to do is when you install Alpha Blocks, install it in the deployment manager, and then additionally you need to install it on each node where the monitor dashboards will be running. And a point to note here is you want to install it on the same location on each node, the same file path, because it uses that file path when it's accessing. So it has to be the same file path. And if you have a vertical cluster, you'll have an extra JVM argument that you need to add in. And also, when you're installing, then you just need to install it once in the system, and of course, just choose one of the clusters, and it will obviously use the same file path and the same location for all the nodes. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 11. The next step when you're installing in a clustered environment, and this is very important, is to manually deploy the shared libraries. If you don't have the shared libraries, you're going to definitely run into some issues. What you want to do is manually run the deploy WebSphere and libraries utility, and I've included here the nomenclature that you're going to use to run it. Next, you'd want to install the application. There's two applications in particular. There's the Alpha Blocks platform and the Alpha Blocks studio, and you want to make sure that you're security roles are mapped correctly, especially if you have an LDAP integrated. Your Alpha Blocks administrator role should be mapped to a specific user. Now, when you've installed the applications, don't start them right away. There are a couple of more steps that we need to take care of. Let's move on to slide number 12 to see what those steps are. So you want to check your environment variable. Your Alpha Blocks install location would be the install location on that particular node. And then the Alpha Blocks additional drivers would be, again, pertaining to that particular server where the drivers are located at. So you want to make sure those environment variables are correct for that particular server. And the next what you want to do is open up the destination.properties file, and you want to edit your schema. Near schema is basically the schema name you use when you install the Apple Blocks table. And additionally, you want to go through your install.command file and just run an update to the command included here. Now, once that's done, then you want to restart each server. Don't restart the cluster, just each server that you've made the changes to, and then check the system out log and verify that Apple Blocks has started up correctly. So let's move on to slide number 13. Now, what you want to do is next configure the data source for Apple Blocks. Typically, your Apple Blocks data source would be, your database would be within your monitor database, so then you don't have to configure a separate data source. But if you do have Apple Blocks in a separate database, then you'd need to configure that data source manually. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the next slide. Once you have your data source configured correctly, you want to log onto your Apple Blocks admin console and verify that the data sources are running. There are two data sources, the monitor and monitor cube. Run test connection, make sure they're connecting properly and connecting to the right database. And then after that, what you want to do is make sure that the theme is correctly enabled. You want to log onto the Apple Blocks admin console and verify that the theme is the default HTML client theme is set for WB Monitor. If you're in a distributed environment, you want to make sure you check that because sometimes it's not there by default. So let's move on to slide number 14. If you find that the monitor theme isn't set correctly for Apple Blocks, then you need to go through the steps and basically includes just copying the theme file over and restarting the business space cluster or the web cluster where Apple Blocks is installed in your cluster environment. Then log on to the admin console for Apple Blocks again, and then click on system and verify the theme. And we'll go over that a little bit during the demo as well. Moving on to slide number 15. So as I spoke earlier about the database and the data sources, if you have Apple Blocks installed in the same database as Monitor, then you're good to go. And what you need to do is make sure that your Apple Blocks is using the correct data source. And what we recommend to do is run the convert utility. So what you want to do here is basically convert Apple Blocks to use a WebSphere data source. And to do that, you want to run the convert repository utility. And while running it, you want to make sure that you turn connection pooling on. You'd select option number 8 to configure web application server connection pooling. Make sure that the connection pooling is turned on. And then it's a pretty simple step. It asks you to input the JNDI name for your monitor database. The default is JDBC WBM monitor database. Then after that, just restart the server, and you should be good to go. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 16. So installation checkpoints. You want to make sure your applications are installed. Make sure that your data sources are passing their test connection. Have you run the convert repository utility? Is it using the WebSphere data sources? So make sure all of that is in place. Are you able to log on to the Apple Blocks admin console? A lot of times you'll have security issues, so you want to make sure that you're able to log in correctly, view the administrative pages. Next, make sure that your shared libraries are deployed. And you'll see errors in the logs if your shared libraries are not deployed, so that will be more than obvious if you haven't done that step. Then you want to make sure that your environment variables are set correctly. Verify them in WebSphere. Make sure that your theme is enabled correctly. You want to verify that in the Apple Blocks admin console. And then lastly, you want to run a smoke test. Deploy a model. Make sure that the cubes are deployed. And in cases where your cubes aren't deployed, you can always go manually deploy the cubes in Apple Blocks. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the troubleshooting section. So moving on to slide number 17, which is the troubleshooting section. The first thing you want to do if you run into any issues with Apple Blocks is check the system out log. And then check the Apple Blocks log located in the Apple Blocks analytics, the server.log files in particular. Those are your two key locations where you want to see the errors and figure out what's going on, make sure Apple Blocks is starting correctly, make sure the cubes are loading, and that's where you want to look for to see any errors. If you're not finding the correct level of errors or you need a little bit more detail, then I've included a good trace setting. It's com.ibm.wbimonitor.admin.command. All that will give you a good trace setting for any AlphaBlocks-related issues. Next, what you want to do is log on to your AlphaBlocks admin console and sort of see if your cubes are deployed. Sometimes cubes aren't even there, so then you'll know to deploy them. If they're already deployed, you want to see what state they're in. Are they running? Are they startable? A lot of times you have your cube deployed, but the cube isn't starting, so that'll give you a very clear indication of what the issue is. You want to check other things in the AlphaBlocks admin console, like data sources, etc. Are they able to connect? So moving on to slide number 18. If you have installation issues with AlphaBlocks, a few logs to collect are included over here. A lot of times once you go through these logs, you'll see some pretty obvious issues, you know, connection issues or security issues, which hindered your installation, and you'll be able to get past any roadblocks there. But if not, then you want to engage IBM support, and you want to include all of this information, specifically the server.properties file and the server.log file. That gives us a lot of insight into what the issue is. And in this case, for the installation, then the AlphaBlocks install log is very, very important. Moving on to slide number 19. So a few very common errors that we see. One is the access denied for the get deployment descriptor. And what we've seen as I've included a tech note, and what we've seen as an issue here is that basically when once you enable security, your AlphaBlocks admin doesn't match up to your web server admin. So with that security clash, you're not able to log in, and then you see an error similar to that. So in the tech note that I've included, it goes through the steps of how to make sure those two are in sync. And once you open your server.properties file, what you're basically looking to change is the ws.admin.username property and your ws.admin.password property. And you want to make sure those are matching your web server username and password, web server admin username and password. And in general, if you have any security-related issues, that's kind of a good place to start. Open up your server.properties file and verify if your WS admin name or your WS admin password is correct. Sometimes the port is incorrect, so you want to check those few things. That's a good place to start if you have security-related issues to in web server, in AlphaBlocks. All right, so if your cubes aren't creating correctly when you're manually deploying them, while you're deploying the model, you find that your cubes aren't created, you can always go in and manually deploy them. And the link I've included is a link to the Info Center, and it goes through step-by-step each step that you need to take to manually deploy your cubes. Once the cubes are deployed, your monitor model should work correctly. And this and going through these steps will sort of get you back up on your feet if you really need to get past and make sure that your application is deployed along with the cubes. Let's move on to slide number 20. We're keeping good pace here. While you're going through your system out log, a couple of things, especially for dimensions and reports. Now, I've included an example error message here, CWMDC1000E. So for those error messages, anything from 1000 to 1499 would be error messages related to your dimensions. So that'll give you a good idea for, you know, where your issue lies or while you're running the dimensions, are you getting any errors? So it's good to know those numbers. And then similarly, 1500 to 1600 would be reports-related issues. So once you access Business Space and you're going through your widgets and trying to manipulate them or drill down the data, go through the system out log and see if you've seen errors within those number ranges showing up, and that'll give you an idea, you know, to sort of look for where the issue is. And then lastly, another common problem is AlphaBlocks config mbean instance not found. And to resolve the issue, you want to basically set your custom property and make sure that basically make sure that WebServe would know to open up the correct server name. So it's just a property, JVM property that you can set that fits with a unique server name. Move on to slide number 21. Now, a lot of customers have AlphaBlocks performance issues, so I've included a couple of AlphaBlocks tuning tips. Especially I've noticed in a development environment, you may have a lot of old cubes, old models deployed, and a lot of times you'll undeploy the model, but you have these leftover cubes, and they're still running, and they're taking up a lot of CPU. So what you want to do is, if you have a lot of unnecessary cubes deployed, but you're not using some previous installation, you want to disable, remove those cubes. That will really free up some space. Then next, you want to schedule a longer cube refresh rate. Obviously, if your cube isn't refreshing every 1 minute, it's gonna open up a lot of cycles, and it will really dramatically improve your performance. So you want to change the cube refresh rate to something, for example, 720 instead of just 1. And once you've made that change, you'll have to restart for the change to take effect. And, of course, if you move to 64-bit JVM, you'll have more processing power, and so you'll definitely see some better performance. So if you have a development environment or a performance or a production environment where you have a lot of cubes, a lot of models deployed, you may want to consider moving to a 64-bit JVM to get more bang for your buck. And lastly, AlphaBlocks dynamic member caching. You can set the maximum value to be greater than 11,000, and that will give you some better performance rates. And that's something that you can set in the AlphaBlocks admin console. Once you edit the cube, you would set that setting. All right, let's move on to the next slide, slide number 22. And now this brings us into the demo. So Joseph, I'm going to start sharing my screen here. This will go well.
All right, so Fisar, I have given you presenter control.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very top, if you see the toolbar, there should be a button titled Share My Screen.
Yes.
Yes. So let's give that a try and see how that works out.
Start sharing. Okay. Are you able to see my thing?
Yes.
So let's start with some troubleshooting. So while I was presenting, I'll go over a few things in the demo. So let's talk about those. So I'm logged on to the AlphaBlocks admin console, and it's the secure environment, so the port is 9447. And I clicked on System after I clicked on General. And when you log on to the admin console and you don't see the status tab, that is a clear sign that you're either not logged in to AlphaBlocks as your web server administrator, or you want to check your server.properties file to make sure that it's that your admin username matches your web server username. So if you log in and you don't see the administration tab, you want to check your server.properties file and make sure you're logged in as the correct user. So once you're in, you want to click on the General tab and then System, and then Default HTML Client Scene. This should be WBM Monitor. If you don't see this set to WB Monitor, then you have some issues, and you need to go through and refer to the slide where you can manually set the theme, and it's a simple procedure where you just transfer some files over. So this is something you should check. So next, we're going to click on Data Sources here. And for AlphaBlocks, basically, there are two main data sources. Let's wait for it to load. And you have your monitor, and then monitor cubes. So once you see this, what you want to do is basically just select a data source, and it'll give you a monitor data source that's successful. If it's not successful, then you want to check what it's pointing to. Is it using the application server data source name, or is it using some other name that it's not supposed to? So make sure that you have all this information correct if your test connection fails. And the same for cubes. So I'm going to go back to General and then click on IBM AlphaBlocks cubes. So right now I have 4 of these cubes deployed. And what I want to do is see what the status of one of these cubes. So I've double-clicked it, and I see the status is running. if I log in and either the cubes that I'm expecting aren't deployed, that's a sign that something went wrong during the model deployment and the cubes weren't deployed correctly. And at that point, you want to consider going through the steps of manually deploying the cubes or consider redeploying your application depending on the situation. And if your cubes are here but not in a running state, try to start them and monitor them to see if they remain running, because a lot of times cubes will stay running, but then they stop the very next second. So make sure that you see that it remains running, and refresh that, and check all the cubes that you're concerned with your monitor model, and make sure they're in a running state. So this is a good place, and it gives you a good detail as to, you know, what the last started and last stopped date is. So if you click on cubes up here, and then it's the same for cubes, obviously, showing, let's try to edit one of these. There we go. All right. So this gives you a little insight as to, you know, what the dimensions, et cetera. So select the data source, and you can view the cubes and the measures and all that. So gives you a little bit of insight there. Let's go back to AlphaBlox and show your back general tab. And just to review, you want to check your system here. AlphaBlox cubes here to see if they're in the running state, and if you need to edit them, you want to go over up to the cubes. And then data sources to check the overall AlphaBlox installation. So now let's go through this an entrance scenario for the dimensional. So when you're creating your modern model, you will click on the dimensions tab here. This will give you a view of what your cubes are. So we're using the Better Land sample model here. And I clicked on the high-level cube here. And what you can see is measures over here. And in particular, we'll take a look at total number of completed loans. And it's the cap. And the source metric is amount of completed loans. And then we have some measures defined as well. During the presentation, I said that cubes will have measures and they have positions. And then each dimension can then have levels. So this is a level, for example, for loan officer. And then the level is loan officer, and then it's correct to a source metric, which is also loan officers, which is basically the name of the loan officer. So you can see that there are different levels to each of these dimensions. So this cube has three dimensions and then a level to each, and which is sourced through the metrics. All right. So once this model is then deployed, let's take a look at the admin console. So a couple of things here, tracking back to checkpoint. Your AlphaBlox platform and AlphaBlox Studio application should be running and deployed, so make sure those are deployed. And then your monitor models, let's log in, looks like I have a good log. So click on applications and monitor models. And you want to click on the version. And once you click on the version, you can see that the dashboard's enabled, you know, created, and AlphaBlox cubes are created. If you see that there's an X marker, then you want to make sure, go through the logs, see what the error was, and gauge if you need to install the cubes manually. That's always an option. And then over here, you can also click on command AlphaBlox cubes, and check the settings there if it's local or remote. Make sure your host name and your RMI port name is RMI port number is correct. If that information is not correct, your cubes will not get deployed properly. So just a couple of checkpoints there. So we have our deployment status is okay. So now we're going to go to business space, and here our model that's deployed. And as I mentioned earlier, there's two widgets that we're going to be focusing on today, the reports and the dimensions. So let's look at reports first. So my reports here shows that the total amount of loans completed in 2009 were this many. I want to drill down on this to see, okay, how many in 2009? Let's refresh my browsing section here. Overall thing about the reports, you can have the grid viewable or not. If you just need to see the chart, you can see the chart. And you can always say grid, chart, or page filter. So if I uncheck this, the grid will go away, so on and so forth. So we were in 2009. We drilled down into 2009. And the data I have for 2009 is October and November. So those are the 2 months where loans are completed. You can see that a little more were created in November than October. Maybe I want a little bit more detail. So I'm going to right-click on this bar. I can even right-click over here, and I can drill down. And then it will reach both sides, the grid and the grid of the chart. So once I drill down into November, this gives me an idea, okay, I had about 170,000 loans that were completed on the first, and compared, then there was a period of no activity. And if you hover over, you can see the amount of loans exactly. So 100,000 on the 18th. So that gives you a good idea. Now, let's drill back up and see what happens. So drill back up, and we're in November now, and this you scroll down and you see all the data here. Now, another useful tool is the what it allows you to do is look at trend lines. So let's look at trend lines here, chart and trend lines. And we'll just call it trend one, and let's give it a linear trend. And if I click apply, it sort of gives you a nice trend line over there. It's a little less exciting because they're only 2 months, but it gives you some good trending options, logarithmic, polynomial. So you have a few options here, and if I want to remove it, then I'll just do the same. If I, for example, want to remove this trend line, then I would go back into chart, trend line, and just delete trend line one. Back to our little baseline here. A few other useful charts is, for example, if I wanted to make this look a little prettier, you can make it into a 3D bar chart or a pie chart. So a lot of chart options itself are available. And all of this information can, of course, be exported using file export to PDF. So the key takeaways there are you drill down, drill up, you can create various kinds of charts, trend lines, and you have some options for your chart as well, where the legend is. So you have some nice customizability, option here. And of course, you can also hide data if I just want to hide October, don't want to see October anymore. Let's just hide it. And then all I see is November. So at the same time, if I miss October, I can unhide it and bring it back. So just a quick overview of how you can use all the options in your reporting and analysis. So I'm going to scroll down here now to the dimensions widget. And what I'm going to do here is let's change this to total number of applications and loans. Now, I'm going to go back to WID over here and just sort of give you another visual on the visual of the dimensions. If I had a cube here, the loan officer, and the loan officer has another level which told me the name of the loan officer. So let's go back to our business page. We have total number of applications on the y-axis, the loan officers. So let me drill down. There. Now, it shows me the data on three of these loan officers, Gerald, Joan, and Robert. And right off the bat, I can see Gerald has a lot more applications for loans than, say, Robert Gump. So let me go down into Gerald and see what he's up to. Now this gives me a little overview on what status each of the loans are in. So if I look at Gerald, I can see that most of the loans are in processor, validator, and underwriting. And if I look at Robert, I can tell you that most of the loan applications are in loan setup 45. So it gives you a status of what they are. And the key, of course, will tell you, okay, this many loans are in funding, this many in post-closing, et cetera. So you can do some drill down there. Drill down too much, of course, you'll get this error message saying, drill down. And on the right over here, there's the data. It'll give you sortable lists and columns, so ascending, descending, and none. So I'm just going to accept none for now. But that gives you some good options. So let's just review all the data and how you can drill down, drill up into your dimensions and your reports, how you can create some customizability, create bookmarks as well in reports. And you can view your reports in different formats and grid, just the chart. And you have a lot of chart options as well. You can use trend lines, configure the data place axis, and different kinds of charts as well. Now, your types of charts are just restricted to those you have. You can customize the kind of chart that you get. And as you can see, there's a very long list of chart types here. So a lot of options to get your data in whatever way suits you. So that concludes the demo. So now I'm going to hand it back to Joseph.
Thank you, Fisa. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
At this time, I'm showing no questions.
Thank you, Jackie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.